Welcome to the People Show. Josh Ellie Wolf, Dominic Tremati, filling in for
Hello.
Bizarre, who is now vacationing. He is no longer filling in for Satyar Shah. He is off.
He's hosting his family.
Yes. Yes, he is. So,
shouts to Vic.
I think he's still doing post games. I could be wrong about that. So you'll still have your fill of Vic Nizar, but he is off until next Friday. Some well-deserved time off as well. Satyar Shah back on Connect Central with Dan Riccio today as well at 4 o'clock. But right now it is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati, Elon Chark here as well. And at 3:30, Ian McIntyre, the triple threat, is going to join us here to talk about some of the lineup notes today. Canucks did practice. Dakota Joshua back on the ice. We'll get into a lot of that as the show goes on. But first, by the way, you can text in 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line, Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. And we are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. A lot to get to today, including Dom has to make an apology for something he did yesterday. We'll get to that later.
Said.
What did I say?
I did. I didn't do anything bad.
Okay. Sorry, yeah.
Something you said that lit a blaze in the text inbox.
Yes. Something you said yesterday. We'll get to that, but first it is time for the tea. Before we get into any of the actual topics, a lot of it is kind of covered by Rick Tocchet's Avail today, which didn't run on Canucks Talk, so we'll play it right now, and then out of it, we'll get into some of the news and notes from today's practice. So here's Rick Tocchet talking after practice today.
Yeah, no, he's a big part of our team, and I thought he had a good practice today, so it's a good start for him.
Option for tomorrow, maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep on it with him. We talked about today a little bit, so we'll wait 24 hours to decide if he plays tomorrow or not.
What can you tell us about Demko? He was obviously put on long-term
injured. That's just cap related, so you get some cap relief, so that's all it is.
He's still considered week-to-week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Baines comes up. What was the decision behind bringing him up?
Well, you get some cap space to bring a couple of guys up. I think it's important to have, to see where he's at, maybe throw him in the lab. I'm not sure if he's going to play tomorrow or not, but, it's competition. He went down there. He's kind of did a couple of things that we like, and he's got some speed.
Is that a sign he'll be here for the rest of the year?
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't say. There's 10 games left. I couldn't say that, no.
Are you totally comfortable that Thatcher will have, I think it's 6 games that he'd be eligible for? Are you totally comfortable that's enough time for him to fully be ready?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How concerned are you about Lindholm's situation? There seems to be some uncertainty around it right now.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned. I think it's just, it's something a little nagging that's getting better every day. That's the way you got to look at it.
You're not worried that there could be something else discovered and it's suddenly really long-term?
No, I mean, not from the best of my knowledge, I'd say no, but yeah, no.
How much timeline on him yet?
No, not timeline, no.
How much have you missed Dakota?
Well, I think, when you look at that L.A. game, that's where Dakota is, he's that guy that can, get that puck around the net. And obviously the way he's, over the last year, how he's gotten better and better, how his season started didn't go great, and how he took the information, the way he's, for arguably that 6-7 weeks or 2 months there, that line was cooking, and he was a big reason for it.
Not having that line, it looks like you've got Dakota skating with JT and Brock. How much of that is also a result of Connor playing as well as he is with Pete?
Yeah, there's going to be some situations where you're going to have to move people around, matchups, bigger defense. You're looking at different scenarios. Can this line play against bigger defense? Do you want to play this line against, smaller defense? There's a lot that goes into it. I don't like moving the lines too much, but we're looking for people to hold spots right now. There's 10 games left.
With Thatcher, is there a plan for when he might skate again? Not necessarily play, but just skate.
I think there's a date, but it's not a hard date right now. But there's a game plan with him. No, I just think, you know, if you guys were ready, like, you know, you have a day off, you got to be ready to go. Like, there's 10 games left, you know, and they picked it up after that. So that's all. No big deal.
Is that something about the strength of your team's culture, where you guys got into, that you can speak to them and get the results that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's been something I've really been proud of the team, where we've dropped the ball. And they've taken the information and whatever presentation I gave it to them and have bounced back. And even in a short term, like, you know, the first part of practice, we didn't like. But the last part, you liked it. So I think that's a credit to the players they're taking. Listen, you're not going to be on your game all the time. You're not going to be mentally into it. But I think at this point of the season, for some guys, you got to train your mind now. This is like, it's go time. 10 games left, you know. There's some details that you have to do it most of the time now. This is not November hockey, and I think that's sometimes we gotta just reminder.
Building that kind of
Well, I mean, hopefully you got enough players that send that message, right? I mean, and it's also too my presentation. I can't be yelling and screaming every day, but I don't think I've yelled and screamed in 2 weeks, so I thought it was a good time to do it every 14 days.
What about some extra time on the ice with JT and Brock? What was the message?
It was more like the 6-on-5 at the end. Like, just they're asking questions. Billy's really like an intuitive guy. He likes scenarios, you know. So we walked over some stuff. When you don't practice, you know, sometimes practice you want guys in and out. Sometimes walkthroughs or those type of moments are big with coaches, with your players. It could be anybody. I was talking to Hoggy today about his game yesterday, about some positional stuff. I think it's important that you spend time with the player on the ice, not always in the video room. Sometimes they want to feel it and touch it on the ice.
Obviously, with injuries, having some time for guys to get healthy is a good thing. But in terms of, like, 10 games to go...
Yeah.
Do you view it as a good thing that your team has 10 more games in the playoffs, or is it kind of a difficult time right now to gear up?
Well, I mean, I've talked to some coaches, buddies of mine, and they usually say this is the dog days. Like, some teams are kind of, come on, let's get the playoffs going. And when you do that, you don't play as well. So it's important that you can't let your team think that way. And I think when they get away from the rink, that's when they got to shut their mind off. So it's kind of a balance, right? When you're at the rink, it's go time. When you're away from the rink, don't worry about hockey. Don't think of hockey. So I think that might eliminate the dog days, I think.
Do you encourage them to do more, like, mindfulness, mental health coaching type stuff around this time?
Yeah, I'm a big scenario guy, like mental reps. I think game day for me is like, you know, you're playing this team, this defense does this, so if I get this scenario, what am I going to do? I like that game day. I'm not sure the night before that I want guys thinking hockey all the time. I think you can burn yourself out. But game day, that 12 hours, that whole day, I really believe you should play scenarios in your head. You know, you're playing this team, they clog the middle up, so what should I do tonight? I think that helps. I do.
There is Rick Tocchet after today's practice. Big scenario guy. Him and JT Miller.
Both. Here we go, yeah.
Big scenario guys.
Mm-hmm. Why is everything a guy with Rick Tocchet?
What do you mean?
Wall guy.
I think that's just his way of saying
his mannerisms.
Yeah. We all have them.
Imagine if he has a kid.
His is like, hey, big, like if he was a big pasta guy, you know?
His baby, big milk guy.
Okay. Time for the tea.
Big spittle guy.
Fair enough.
Is everyone just the big something guy?
It seems like it, and that's okay. Pod calls in.
His wife, big talk it guy.
Okay. All right. But a lot to get into, and we wanted to play that because
a
lot of the tea today is surrounding what Rick Tocchet mentioned and what happened in practice today.
Phil Hronek back with Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
On a pairing. What do we feel?
On the top pair. So... It feels like every time these guys are split up, Hronek runs into issues.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I won't say it's just Hronek, too. I think Hughes also doesn't... He's still Quinn Hughes, so he's still very good. But I think there are moments where it's just not as fluid as it is with Hughes and Hronek together. And the one that suffers more from it is Hronek.
But to be fair, I do think that I keep on saying Phil. Quinn plays better next to Philip.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's kind of what I'm saying.
They make each other better.
They make each other better, and that's why it kind of they keep going back together. And we talk a lot about the potential contract for Hronek, and you want to see him carry his own pair before you pay him that much. But also at the same time, like, if you're the Canucks and you're a team that's trying to, you know, you're jockeying for position right now, you're getting ready for the playoffs, now is the time to be gaining chemistry and making sure you're ready to go game one. You know your best pairing is Hughes and Hronek together.
So that being said, and this has been a raging topic on Canucks Twitter the last few days, if not week, what is fair for Philip Hronek? Quinn Hughes is making 7.85. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe that Phil should make more than Quinn. And I'm one of those people. I think it's reasonable that your internal cap suggests that your highest paid defenseman is Quinn Hughes. However, as argued by Thomas Drantz today, Phil has arbitrages that could net him more than 7.85. So what's fair?
My thing on this is I don't want to put it as like an arbitrary, like, oh, he can't make more than Quinn Hughes. The thing is,
some
teams operate that way. And I don't know if the Canucks operate that way. But what I will say is that's also like 7.85 just happens to be around the number where I'm like, hey, if it's over that, I'm not comfortable. If it's below that, I can get on board with it. Mm. And it's not because Quinn Hughes is making that much money. It's just because that's where I'm at in terms of how much I think Hronek should get paid on a long-term contract. And it's if it's over Quinn Hughes, his cap hit at 7.85, not only am I like, hey, why is he making more than Hughes? That's not my main concern. The main concern for me is that just seems like too much money for Philip Hronek, in my opinion, especially because, again, I completely agree that Hughes and Hronek make each other better. They're a really good pair. But if he can't carry his own pair, then should he be making that much money? And
Hronek also 2 years older than Quinn.
Yes. So if it ends up being somewhere between 7 to 7.5, I can stomach that. I can get on board with it. I'm okay with it. But if it ends up being more than what Hughes is making, then I'm a little concerned. And that's where I pursue, hey, maybe a draft day trade or try to figure something out. The other part of it, though, is that teams around the league are going to be very aware of how much Philip Hronek is going to be looking to make if he doesn't sign in Vancouver. And they're all going to know that it's going to be over what Quinn Hughes is probably making, and that might impact the negotiations a little bit. So we'll see how it all plays out, but it's going to be interesting when it gets done. It doesn't feel like it's going to be an in-season or in-playoffs thing. It feels like something that they'll tackle once the season is completely over.
As you just heard, the DAC is back. Talkett reporting, or telling us that, reporting. That's funny. Talkett saying that they're going to sleep on it and see how he feels heading into the game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. He was on a line, though, with JT Miller and Brock Besser. I talked about this yesterday, by the way. Something that entices me.
I'd pat your back, but you're too far away.
Fair enough. It entices me, though, the Joshua with Miller and Besser. And as long as, you know, Connor Garland is with Pettersson and Hoglander, and that line is working, I don't see a need or a reason to try to reunite the third line, because you know you're always going to, like, you have that in your back pocket, right? If things are going wrong, you could put Joshua, Bluger, Garland together. Hopefully they still have the chemistry they had before. It does feel like the Canucks need Joshua back. The power play hasn't struggled in the past couple games, or in the past game, I guess, without Lindholm. Joshua was a key piece of the penalty kill as well. So to get that piece back with one of them also being out of the lineup in Lindholm, that feels like a key addition as well. One thing I kind of want to see before the season is over, and maybe it's not the time to experiment. Maybe it's the time to just roll with what you got and try to gain chemistry, like I said, before game one of the playoffs. I do kind of wonder what Dakota Joshua on power play one would look like. As
in
a
front of the
front guy. Yeah. And
it's an idea.
Maybe that conflates with the Canucks wanting a left-handed shot in the bumper.
Yeah.
Because that would probably move Besser to the bumper, and who knows how that would work.
Are you old enough to remember Dustin Byfuglien?
Yeah, I'm old enough.
Playing in front of Roberto Luongo in those Chicago Blackhawks days.
How young do I think? I don't know. Do you think I am?
I don't know.
That's
I don't know when you started watching.
It was the most annoying part of my childhood.
Rhinoceros hips.
Yeah.
If you remember correctly. Mm-hmm. That's what it's giving.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard to... There aren't many players who play like Dakota Joshua in the NHL right now. Physical guys who are big, who can also score around the net. And that's why we talk so much about, like, hey, how much money is he going to make in the offseason? Because this is someone who... It's a rare breed of NHL player, and those guys tend to get paid a lot. But for now, while he's on the Canucks, it just seems like logically it could work. But we haven't even really seen it get run on the second unit. So I wonder if they're just like trying to, I don't want to say limit Joshua's minutes, but they know what his sweet spot is in terms of minutes. And because he's playing so much on the penalty kill as well, maybe it's just not something that they don't want to overwork him. And especially coming back from an injury, I don't think they want to overwork him, especially in that case.
There's also only 10 games left. Like, how you don't have a lot of time left to experiment.
That's what I'm saying. You, at a certain point, you got to start gaining chemistry. My issue is we saw power play 2 today. It had 2 defensemen on it. I'd rather see Joshua there than 2 defensemen, personally.
Lindy Lindholm, day-to-day, talk it isn't worried. Nagging, getting better every day, but still no timeline.
It's weird. We haven't heard about the appointment yet.
No.
So
maybe on 32 thoughts.
Who knows how that's going? Yeah, give us the scoop tomorrow, Dom. Yeah. Do you record tonight?
We record Thursday. We'll put it out Good Friday.
It'll be Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. It's day to day. It's interesting because it sounds almost like something where he's gonna need more time in the off season to get it figured out.
Mm.
And this is purely speculation. And it just feels like, hey, if you shut him down, he's done for the season. And who knows? Who knows if that's actually the case? But there is a world where, hey, you rest him for a few games. Maybe you play him for a few games before the playoffs just to get him back up to speed. And that gives him a bit of time to not be in as much discomfort as the playoffs go on. And again, the other part of this is Lindholm is fighting for...
Money.
And yeah. if he can play in the playoffs and show that he is at the very least, a valuable matchup center, that's going to get him paid.
Do we know when this injury occurred?
No. I don't think
this is something he was dealing with in Calgary?
I don't...
I
don't know.
If it was something he was dealing with in Calgary, did the Canucks not know about it? These are questions I have. And I want answers too.
I think some, like most of the time, you have the physicals done.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
Who's to know? Who's to say? Because I mean, it could have been something that's
a red flag.
It could have been something that was slightly bugging him in Calgary,
and then it got inflamed.
Like
when
he didn't
here.
Make it aware, or yeah. didn't make them aware, and then he got to Vancouver and it got worse. Who knows?
Exacerbated. That's unfortunate if that was the case, because then you trade for an injured asset. So we'll see. We'll try and figure out the answers maybe tomorrow after 32 thoughts.
We'll see. Posted. 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. This one. Contrarian view. Re-sign Lindholm while his value is low. If that was an option, I'd pursue it.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Lindy's going to try and...
Yeah. He's at least going to go to market and see what's out there.
Bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
We have an update on Demko. He's been put on LTIR, available on April 5th, I believe, if my math is correct.
So
he's available for the last 6 games of the year. Whether or not he'll play in them, we'll see. But news is news.
Yeah, so retroactive. Talk it saying today that it's cap-related so that they could call Archdeep Baines back up, who, by the way, is back up in Vancouver. But Talk had also said in that avail that he doesn't seem worried about getting Demko back up to speed before the playoffs because, hey, he's probably going to play 3 or so of those final 6 games if that's when he is back. And realistically, like, if you think about a preseason, how many games is the starting goalie getting in the preseason? Probably 3. right? Maybe a period here or there. So that should be more than enough to get him up to speed because he's in even more of a game shape mm-hmm. than he would have been then. So I'm not too worried as long as they do get him back at that time. If it stretches a little bit more, then I start to become concerned. But if they get him back with six games remaining, I think that's more than enough time to have him up to speed for the postseason.
And last one, Baines is back. You mentioned it.
Baines back up. I wonder if we'll see him play in any games. He was an extra today at practice. And, I mean, who would you rather see in the lineup right now, Vasily Podkolzin or R.C.D. Baines?
Personally, I'm a Podkolzin stan, so Podkolzin.
I'd rather see Podkolzin too.
Last game, mm-hmm. there's a wrecking ball out there. But at this point, you know, if Baines is in, it's not so bad.
It also gives you the option of down the stretch, resting a guy or mm-hmm. two for a game, and we'll see if they do that as the season progresses. But I don't know if we'll see him in the lineup. I do think we'll see him later in the season. If we do see him.
Can I issue my apology now?
Yes. So yesterday, we were talking about the vending machines here at Sportsnet 650. In the Rogers building, it's not just a 650 vending machine. It is a Rogers vending machine. Mm-hmm. And one thing that happened, near and dear to my heart, near and dear to your heart, near and dear to everyone's hearts, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups were replaced
the goat, essentially.
By Big Turk. Mm-hmm. Turkish delight
covered in chocolate.
Yes, and we were crapping on it, Big Turk, because it's Big Turk. What are we doing here? Reese's is the goat, and our text box was aflame.
We got tens of texts saying I was wrong. That Big Turk is awesome. They love Big Turk. Big Turk is so good. Been eating it for a while. Blah 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 blah. Okay, I hear you. I see you out there, you Big Turk stans.
You Big Turk stans.
I'm sorry. I will no longer crap on your delectable little treat that apparently is only in Canada, Big Turk, the candy bar. Are we calling it a candy bar?
Well, or Hedo Turkaloo.
Nice.
But yeah, the candy bar.
Nice.
Good reference,
good.
Hey?
Yeah.
It came to
former
mind.
Former Raptor. Orlando Magic too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to all the Big Turk stands out there. Please forgive me. I will no longer say a bad word publicly about Big Turk. Privately, I will continue.
Publicly, I will continue to crap on Big Turk. Especially if we're talking Reese's. What are we doing here? This is like yesterday we were talking about the Sphere and they replaced U2 with fish. I'm not even a U2 guy, but fish?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I'm lost. It's the same. You can't replace the goat. And not that U2 is the goat. But you can't replace the goat of candy or chocolate in Reese's with Big Turks. It's a crime.
Speaking of delectable delights, we have a differing opinion on the Chicago White Sox new 16-ounce campfire milkshake that will be sold at games this season for a whopping $15. That's only $15 for 16 ounces of ice cream, milk, and delectable goodies. The campfire milkshake, which has taken Twitter by storm, is topped with graham crackers, marshmallows, and pieces of chocolate. Now, before we went on air, Josh, you were arguing to me that there is nothing on a hot summer's day you would want less than a milkshake.
In terms of a drink, I would not want a milkshake.
An
on
ice
a hot
cold milkshake on a hot day.
Yeah, it's gonna sit in your stomach.
Like it's
having,
ice
having
cream.
Cold milk. It's different than ice cream. Also,
it's dairy.
Here's what I'll say as well. Ice cream on a hot summer's day, also not one of my go-tos.
What?
It's just not. I like
you a sorbet guy. Like what are you talking about here? You've never been to White Rock on a hot summer day, gone up to Maya's, getting a soft serve?
I'll get the ice cream, but it's not refreshing is the point I'm trying
what
to make.
What are you talking
a
about?
A milkshake is not
How is
refreshing.
Milkshake not refreshing?
It's
Oh,
dude,
my goodness.
It's,
man,
it's
what a cold take. Ice cream on a summer's day is bad?
Yeah.
No. Ice cream, like, I can get on board with ice cream. Look, it's
But not on
not
a summer's day.
No. On a summer's day.
You
a
just said no.
A milkshake.
No. You're not hiding from this. You just said, I don't know about ice cream on a hot day. You just said that.
in terms of being a refreshment.
Ugh.
I will, like, I'll get ice cream, but I'm not expecting it to be refreshing.
We're going to ask iMac about this.
A milkshake is not refreshing.
10 minutes on ice cream coming up.
What are we doing here? Anyway, Ian McIntyre going to join us on the other side. We'll see what he says. It's not refreshing. What are we doing here? The Triple Threat on the other side. People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schermatti, Sportsnet 650.